Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, hello to Swedish Football Mafia. We don't know anymore what episode number it is, so Al is going
and
to...
And frankly, we don't give a fuck, so...
That's Canal's initiative, so blame him, Al, not me. But we have a special episode here because we've got a special guest here today. Sané Berane.
Yes, should I introduce myself or...
I'm just going to start by saying you're a footballer, coach, you played for the national team of Eritrea as well.
Exactly.
World Cup qualifying as well, so that's a bit special for us. So you can take over from
for
there.
For the next World Cup also.
So oh, you're going to do that as well?
Yeah, it wasn't like the World Cup in 1990.
No, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. 2018.
You're
in
a
Russia.
Young lad.
Exactly, I'm 27. And actually, I just quit playing football for becoming a coach, but I played last year for the Eritrean national team and
would you mind taking us on, you know, memory lane? Would you mind just letting us know where it all started? So what was your life?
Because you're born in Sweden.
Yeah, I'm born in Sweden. Like I said, 27 years old. Born in Stockholm, played football all my life in Stockholm. Started out when I was five, I think.
Okay.
Was a goalie.
Okay.
All right.
In a team called Stockholms Polisen.
Did you short to be a goalie?
No, I'm quite tall.
You're not that tall. Goalies are like giant.
Yeah, but like when you're a kid, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Yeah, they just put the fat kid in the goal. And I was the fat kid.
Now really? I'm skinny.
Yeah, for real.
So you can't say that by looking at you because...
No. Yeah, now I'm skinny. Yeah, I know.
You look like,
but,
you know, you just came
I got
from
like complexions for it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just water and bread. I played there for like 7-8 years.
Stockholm Police, and is that a collaboration with the police?
No,
is
no.
It? So
no,
why
no.
are they called
no,
police?
I don't know. And the funny thing is, like our jersey, it had a squirrel on it.
Okay. All
right.
Yeah, it was an orange jersey with a squirrel on it.
Why didn't you have black and white stripes? Like
exactly.
That would be so much better. Like Jane's clothes for
Stockholm. And all of us were immigrants, also.
Yeah, of course. So it was maybe.
That's why.
Has nothing to do with the Stockholm Police.
No, nothing.
Well,
Translated in English, it would be Stockholm Police. That's basically your...
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I think the team was saying that these players that played in the club, they were at the Stockholm Police more than anybody else in Stockholm. It could have been it.
You're
so
racist
much.
Fuck.
What are I didn't say anything about that. Yeah, I don't know the guys.
Yeah, but you know me, man.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying it.
So, okay. Yeah. Good point.
So you played there for years and...
And then I went on because it wasn't fun being a goalie.
Yeah.
Because our team was good. So like, really good.
So you played as a goalie from what age?
From like 5 to like 12, I think,
okay,
or something like that.
Okay, so you started very young.
Yeah, but then I switched team. But like from 5 to 12, I didn't actually learn anything.
No, of course not.
Yeah, I was like playing with sand in the goal.
But don't you agree?
To be real, that's like all my memory.
Because
like,
your
I was
team was
with,
so
yeah, we had a really good
superior,
team.
Right?
Yeah, we had a really, really good team in that age.
But would you agree that in that age, anyways, do players, do kids... develop that much in Sweden when it comes to football? You don't do that much technique.
We'll come into that later.
Perfect. Because talk about that.
That's what I'm working with right now, and I've been working with a couple of years. But so I switched team to a team called Rosunda actually for fun.
Yeah.
But when I was 15, I started with Vasalund. And that was like
that's a good team.
Yeah, and that was like my first real year. I don't actually recall how I came into the team because I was shit as a player and they were good. Yeah. They had just lost the semifinals in Gutia Cup.
Okay.
So like my friend played there and he was like, "Hey, you should try out." And I was like, "You think I can come in?" And he was like, "Yeah, try it." And when I played, I was so bad. But then the coach told me, "Yeah, you can come in."
Okay, your personality?
I don't know, but I was like, "Yeah, thanks, man." But it developed very quickly.
All right.
Took me like 6 months. Then I was in the team.
You weren't a goalie back then.
No, you switched. I switched. I played every position all my life.
Yeah.
For real, every position. If I take last year, I played in Division Two. I played every position all year.
Okay.
Except goalie. For okay. real. Okay. Every position. But I'll come to that later.
Yeah.
So, played for Vasalund up to the... When you're going to get selected to the A team.
Yeah.
Got to practice with them.
Yeah.
Didn't make it. It was like, we want to rent you out. We want to la la la.
And that was Division 2?
Division 1.
Division 1.
But then I went to a Division 2 team. Yeah. Actually, Rosendal. They all were right. in Division 2 all
so
of a
you,
sudden.
You went back.
Yeah. So I went back. I played for them like for 2 years or something like that. And then I moved to Malmö. Moved to Malmö to study and also played football there. But my main goal was to study.
Yeah, all right.
So, your
parents must be so proud.
Yeah, actually, they forced me.
Yeah, of course. My main appeal sounds like that's yeah, very
that,
mature.
That wasn't like my choice. Just if they're listening, which they're not gonna be. Because
of course, it was your choice. You play football. All of a sudden, like I moved to Malmö because to study because that's what I wanted. No way.
No.
You're an Indian person. I want to study. I don't want to be an actor. He's lying. Bollywood all your life. That's what he want to.
Or cricket. Cricket.
Yeah, but to go back to Rosunda,
yeah.
And now when I'm older, I can look back at it and say it wasn't the best team for me to go to because I was with a team that drank a lot of alcohol. And, you know, my mind, it was cloudy, you know. Are you supposed to do this when you play here? And they were like, yeah, every Saturday after the game. Let's drink.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, let's try it. First time I tested alcohol, tried to drink it was all when right. I was 18.
Okay.
So anyways, moved to Malmö, studied there, real estate, and also all of a sudden joined the team for fun.
Yeah,
it was just for fun. A team in Division 5, actually.
Okay.
But we won Division 5. We won Division 5, we won Division 4, and then we won also Division 3.
Oh, wow. Okay. In three years.
Yeah. So, okay. Prespa Birlik, it's okay. called the team. So now, last year, they went out Division 1. Actually, they went up there, too. Then moved back to Stockholm. Started in a team called Sundbyberg.
Yeah.
And Division 4.
Did you ever have hopes when you're moving teams like this? Did you ever have like hopes that, you know what, I want to be like a star, I want to play house, I want to be professional? Did you always think I'm going to study, I'm doing this for fun?
No, my problem has always been like
your parents, we get it.
Yeah, exactly. I should have other parents. It's their fault, you know. Classic child, like blaming everybody else.
Yeah.
No, actually, my problem has always been, and somewhat still are, like I like other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Stockholm, it's a big city.
Yeah.
We have a lot of alternatives and stuff.
Yeah.
So
distractions.
Yeah,
you're
distractions.
The Adriano of Sweden.
Yeah, but not that good, not that fast, not that good looking,
not that fat.
exactly. Not that violent.
No, I think.
Yeah, but always been like in my mindset. Yeah, if I somewhat try harder, then it can go all the way. Because people around me have always been like, I went to school. I played football in a school also. When I went to gymnasiet, what's gymnasiet in English?
High school.
Yeah, exactly. So, from that high school, we have like people like Pierre Bengtsson went there, Robert Oman Persson, Romy Kwaiso, but Alex Milosevic, all of these guys went there. So yeah, exactly. And Umar Edari now plays here also.
Yeah.
So, a lot of them went there and we played together and stuff like that. But you know, everybody can't make it all the way.
No, no. Like that. Very difficult.
And people's prioritize. Some kids get the tools for it in an earlier age.
Yeah.
Others don't.
Yeah.
I haven't still got it. So... So,
but you obviously love football because that's all you've been doing in the side.
I've worked with football the last 4 or 5 years also. Yeah.
So no real estate business, nothing.
No, I left it. Now. I went back when I came back here, as I started with that team, Sumbi Bari.
Yeah.
I also got a chance to work with the organization.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I for last 2 years, I worked as. In English terms, chief of operations for the whole organization, and
like a director of football, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And 1.5 years before that, I worked as the coordinator for 5 and 7.
But how come? Because you were a player at the time as well.
Yeah, I also played at the same time, and I was a coach at the same time, and I studied at the same time.
Oh, so did this come to you, or did you like purchase it? You know, did you like chase this kind of?
Did they ask you, or
did
they
you want
ask
it?
Me? In some way, they asked me because of. Even when I'm playing, I also like to like see what we're doing, and try to develop what we're doing all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like kind of quick with it, even though I'm quite skinny and everything. I use my mind in everything I do.
Yeah.
So they asked
me. Very important tool in football.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But also that I like see it from another view, not just as a player. What can we do better? But also. As a whole, for everyone, how can we develop and compete better? So that's how I got the chance, and then later on, that's why I'm coaching today also. Yeah.
So now you're coaching full time.
No,
you're not playing football anymore.
No, I stopped playing football. Yeah. I switched jobs just to get more time to coach. You know, in Sweden we have a system where. You can't own teams, right?
No.
So when you can't own teams, you can't put in so much cash to teams.
No, exactly. No.
And that's why even youth coaches, like you look in other countries, in Spain,
they get good pay.
They get good pay. They have full-time jobs. But in Sweden, we can't...
No, it's part-time.
Yeah, exactly. So right now, I have a team, U13 team.
For
Academy
Gordon.
Team. Yeah, for you, Gordon.
And that's supposed to be like, that's a good job. I mean, if you tell somebody, I'm a coach for under 13... You know, for a big team in Sweden, but because Swedish football, we have a lot of know-how
and
talent.
We have a system where we
but
don't.
But no money.
Yeah.
Money is the problem. Yeah. Because the know-how and system in Sweden is decent when you compare to other countries. It's not bad. It's just different.
Yeah.
They just focus on other stuff when it comes to evolving players. But we're really good at it. But it's just money.
Exactly.
And the money problem is that's why we don't get as good coaches and as good top footballers. As we could, because we still get compared to population, but you know we could get better, of course.
Of course, like a lot of things could get better.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But like when you look at the trainers or the coaches. If you look at you, Gordon, all of them have like UEFA diplomas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, have you done the coaching badges?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. How difficult were they?
I went to a school to do it.
Yeah, is it like David Drakmaier's text? It is like standard text. What kind of questions are there?
No, actually, it's different. Like, there's two ways to do it, or was the way I did it. They took it away this year, so I was thankfully.
You could see in Adil's eyes.
Yeah.
Fuck! I lost my.
Because I did I did it through a school, and it took me 1 year.
Yeah.
And actually, to be honest. It was
that national
really
A license or what?
Yeah, it was really
that's
easy.
That's a national
UEFA,
license.
It's international license. So
yeah,
I have a UEFA diploma.
Yeah, you took the UEFA.
Yeah.
Because you can take the national coaching badge for just...
But it's called like... It's a...
Yeah, because
it's
English,
a hierarchy. It's UEFA C, B,
exactly.
And A, and you have pro.
Exactly.
I don't know the direct terminology in England, but I think they have it similar-wise also.
They call it continental pro licenses.
Okay.
Yeah. So you call it continental pro licenses A, B,
yeah.
and then pro.
Okay, yeah. Okay, okay.
So, so that's the way it goes on that hierarchy, and then you need it for certain kind of jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's easy to learn this kind of stuff when you play Football Manager as well. Because it's just facts-based. All the facts just comes up.
The last time I played Football Manager was...
Sounds like you love it.
Championship Manager 01 and 02.
Yeah. That was,
the best one.
Yeah.
And actually,
that's
I played when I was on it also.
Of course.
So I bought myself.
Yes.
Or actually, I didn't buy. I think I took myself. I was for
you
free. There was no money in between. I took myself to Milan because it's my favorite team.
Yeah, that's
I made
a nice
myself
choice,
the captain and everything. But the fans got angry because I was shit. And
the like a 20-year-old guy with probably the values compared to Milan players.
Media got angry. So actually, I had to go in the system of the whole...
editor.
Yeah, exactly. And change,
to Messi.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But still have the same name. So it was perfect.
So basically, I can do that.
Yeah,
I
exactly. And that's what I tried to do in real life also, you know? Like, party and have fun, but still, like, be a pro. Think that the stats were going to be that high, but,
okay,
they weren't.
If we ask you this, do you regret something in your footballing career? Like, do you ever think, like, okay, hold up. I had this talent. I played for these kind of clubs, and you're still not old. You're still like in a footballing kind of age.
Yeah, still, still 5-6
so,
years.
So what I'm saying is, do you regret that you never like sat down? Okay, so I need to focus on this shit right now because I really need to test myself. If I give it my all, where can I go?
Do you know what I mean? I regret it in an earlier age.
Yeah.
not believing in myself more.
Yeah.
Thinking that you're not worth some stuff that are gonna come out of trying harder and pushing through. That I regret, and somewhat like regretting not moving to Malmö.
Yeah.
But with that move, all of a sudden, it was basically like.
You took a decision on football secondhand.
Yeah, and also like when I took it secondhand and also moving, now I'm in a phase where I try to like live by myself, take care of myself, cook food by myself all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Didn't do that before, you know.
Yeah.
Our moms, they cook
to
this day, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, do you have food at home?
Yeah.
No. Okay, I'll come by now. So all of those stuff, because... But I've also had, like, development in
but
my...
But it made you a person you are as well. I mean, who knows? If you keep on doing what you're doing now, maybe you'll notice that, you know what, I was probably better suited as a coach than a footballer when it comes to level. So maybe in 10 years' time when you become the head coach of you going to see football in Allsvenskan, it wouldn't happen because you didn't move to Malmö.
Yeah, and that's a choice I make today based of what I know about myself, but also what I love. Like and from a standpoint which I didn't take before.
Yeah.
Like that's why I'm taking it so early and so
right
on now.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think coaching the earlier you go to, I think it's really, really helpful for you. You'll understand in a better way to be young as well. Mm. I think Nagelmann now in Germany, I think that's a great example. He's 29 years old, 30, he took over, you know, a struggling team and now they're in top. I think it's a great story. He's so young. He's not even 30.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
And you know, it's people don't get it when other people say it's not enough when you just play football.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. It's not transferable like that.
No, it isn't.
It's like saying, okay, just because you've been a student, you can become a teacher.
It's
not that easy.
No, it's not. Of course.
And most players don't view, don't have that kind of view about football when they're playing.
Absolutely.
So you're just the player.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then when you try to take it over, you still take on football from a player's standpoint.
We noticed that. I think that's a big problem amongst players, that how they, I mean, they get so much power early on with money, especially in the big leagues, that they keep on doing, saying stupid stuff in the media, Twitter, but that's because you're thinking as a young player, a guy.
Of course.
You're not even thinking that, if you were thinking in the future I'm going to be a coach. You would never do stuff like that because you would never, you would keep that to yourself. You would know how to, but you know, that's part of growing up, I guess.
Actually, what you're saying as well, because I think, you know, I would say a general view has been that, you know, a lot of clubs are thinking, okay, this was a great player and now he should be a coach as well, because, and it's totally not transferable.
I think other coaches
just look to Milan, you know, we had Cedo, we had Inzaghi, like what the fuck,
we had Gattuso,
it's like it's totally different.
And it's not, and sometimes people think that he was such a good team player. He would but just because a team player, maybe you had great work rate.
You were really good
at listening and just being a soldier. You run 5 meters dead and 3 meters six sack. He does that every game for three seasons. The coach love him. But maybe when he becomes coach, maybe he doesn't have the personality to to, you know, tell people what to, because a lot of people think that they are good at saying stuff on the field. But then sitting in a locker room telling 20 grown up men, you need to do this, you need to do that, you're shit, you're good, you're not constructively or your style. I mean,
and it's all about context, you know, like,
but you seem to be such a positive, good person that way, so I think that helps you. Must help you,
because like, it's all about context. Like, just because I can communicate well with my teammates doesn't mean I can communicate well with players that I lead.
Being a leader, being a boss. Yeah. Boss is different.
Yeah. It's like with younger people saying just because they can pass in between two people back and forth, it doesn't mean that they can pass in a game.
No, that's
like, it's not
totally
like
different.
It's, so it's all about the context and the holistic view of it.
But not, now you become a coach now, so you're not gonna you're gonna just play for fun now. You're gonna be more coaching.
Yeah, you know, right now I'm like, my hands are itching because I just stopped, like, from going practicing like 5-6 times a week.
And that was the question now, because it was just like a year ago you actually played for the Eritrea national team.
Exactly.
Which we find is very interesting, of course, especially when you had this gung-ho kind of, you know, career in football, back and forth with different clubs and trying different stuff, coaching. But then you played for Eritrea, and considering you didn't play, because I think people don't understand that, you know, certain countries don't pick all the players from Serie A, Premier League, and these big, big, you know, not even Allsvenskan now. So, how did it happen that you came through to Eritrea, and do you think that you were good enough to play there? Because you thought before you weren't good enough.
Yeah, honestly, exactly.
Did you think the same thing there?
So I have a friend.
Yeah.
His name is Heno Koiton.
Yeah, who's that?
Oh yeah, who's that? So he played for a couple of teams all around Europe and stuff like that.
Yeah. He's had a good career.
Yeah. Yeah, he's actually had a good career. I think he scored like 12 goals 1 year in La Liga.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still didn't.
He never came to. It was the
national team.
I will never remember. He had one touch in Serie A. And he scored against Inter.
I remember just when he came, a lot of people were like, well, what is he going to do there? He's too big of a step. But then he had a good season. But then maybe it was too big of a move. Serie A is very big.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, you know, nail a place.
But
he moved by yourself to another country.
And he was the best player in Allsvenskan.
He was, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was such a good move from him to go to Europe for these clubs. Because when he came back to Sweden, he was a much better player. He was definitely top class Allsvenskan.
But what he also was—he was a much more fit player.
Oh, I mean,
If you take earlier on, he wasn't that fit as he was when he came home. I know, because I practiced with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like,
maybe
today,
that was because he wasn't fit earlier. He practiced with you. You were like, have a beer.
I didn't practice with him. I didn't practice with him earlier. So I know from now.
Yeah.
No, but they asked him if he wanted to play and if he knew any good players and stuff like that.
Because he's been on the Swedish national team but hasn't been played in
only the under 21.
Okay, all
right.
He asked me if I wanted to try and come and play, and I said, why not? And
this is so funny. So Eritrea national team calls him up, says, would you like to come to play for, because you're Eritrea originally? He said, I can switch Legia. I'm not going to play Sweden.
Yeah,
I can play for Eritrea. So after they say, so, do you know any other players that can play for Eritrea? I mean, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. That's like the... That's football capital. I mean, like... when you're so big, somewhat compared to everybody else in that environment, then whatever you say makes sense.
It's great. I would love it for my parents.
I could have been a shit player. I still would have made it.
We discussed that before. Somebody says if I was like half San Marinan or Liechtenstein, I would do everything in my power to get to the national team.
Because, of course,
you know, maybe just gonna beat like 200 people.
You're
not talking 200.
Not even 200.
Maybe there's only 1,000 people who wants to play football.
Exactly.
And 11 from them, you can make it.
You probably have to pay for your own flight ticket.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I'll still San Marino, Portugal, play against Cristiano Ronaldo. Hell yeah! I'll just tackle him for fun. I'll take a red card just for one game. It's like, what happened to your career? I don't give up.
Injured
one
Ronaldo.
Cap, yeah. Red card. I told Ronaldo, go fuck yourself. I don't like him. I just wanted to say it to be cool.
I did it with a smile. Hey, yeah, fuck yourself, man.
We play Sweden. I play for San Marino. I get up for a header against
with a laugh, Zlatan. Pointed at him. Hey, fuck yourself.
Truth to your father, head. Fuck to Zlatan. Go to hell. And you know, Swedish will be like, hell yeah, motherfucker. We just talk and
And you know, we don't touch Zlatan. So just remember.
I would definitely touch him if I played for San Marino.
Fuck you up so bad.
And then I have a story.
He would fuck this.
Yeah, and then I have a story. What happened? No, did he play for San Marino one cap? Yeah, Zlatan fucked me up.
Okay. Yeah.
This guy on this picture? That's me. That's me. I'm getting fucked.
I would change the story. Not fuck me. I would say Zlatan fucked me. Like, what do you mean fuck me? That you don't know.
I'm still sore. Anyways. We went there.
So he called you and said, "Do you have to come and test?"
I don't know if I should say this. He used to practice with us sometimes in Sumbibari. When he also was playing with Oiko, and I also know him from before, so he was like, "Hey, you want to come play?" I was like, "Yeah, why not?" And then we went there, me and him from here, from Sweden.
But how were you invited? Did you tell you coming? Did you know?
He told them. He called them. They called me. We spoke on the phone. They
what
said,
language do you speak?
Tigrinya.
We speak Tigrinya. Okay, okay. My Tigrinya is good, actually. That was like a major thing. Your Tigrinya is good. Okay, yeah, major key. Yeah, okay, you can come. Like, if it would have been bad, it would have been. I don't know if I would. Nah, I'm just joking. I would have made it anyways. But.
You're not joking.
I'm joking. Yeah. I can't put myself down too much.
So you talked to them, and how did you know that you were good enough?
I didn't.
Then how did they know you were good enough?
Oh, they didn't. Nah, I'm just...
Who paid for the ticket?
They did.
They still paid for the ticket. One phone call. That's why he's going shit in the politics there, man. He just called them and said, I'm going to get you all. Really? I'm going to get you. You just send us 2 million. We'll get you all for a fucking year. That's great. 2 million is nothing. They send the money, no oil. This is the thing. Send us food. Oh, you're going to send us food? Only $20. You get a food. Oh, we do that. This is bullshit, man.
You speak to India? Yeah. Okay, then we trust you.
Everybody stop billionaire too. You're gonna become billionaire. You just say I got stuff.
And learn Tigrinya.
Learn Tigrinya,
Which is the language in Eritrea. So you just understand.
Okay,
that.
So you came there and
so we flew there we landed like 3 o'clock, I think, or something like that at night, and they were like, "Hey, we have practice 6:30 tomorrow." Okay. I was like, "Really?" Like, we just got here. Like, it was a long flight.
Yeah. But was this special training, or was this to train?
No. They had been training for like 2 months before that.
But you weren't. Now, when you came to Eritrea, I'm just wondering how they thought. You came there.
Yeah.
Did they invite you, play the training ticket for you to come and show how good you are, or were you actually called up to the national team?
No, I was. I didn't know before.
Okay.
Like, we talked about this a lot. Yeah. You know, we were like, okay, hey, so we come. Do you think I'm gonna play? Like, do you think I'm flying to Eritrea right now? Because he could just fly, because it was a cap. It was a space in FIFA regulations, you know? Right, he plays with Oiko a lot. With me, there was no space. It was like, hey, call work. Hey, I gotta take vacation. Eritrea, I'm coming. So
you didn't even know if you were going to train or you're going to get in the team.
No, actually, I knew I was going to train.
Yeah, you know you're going to train.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You didn't know that, like, you've been called up to the Eritrean squad. This is the third match.
No, actually, I thought I was called up to the squad.
Yeah.
But then, like, we got there, like, the first practice, it was like 37 people, practicing. So I was like, hey, there's a possibility just by looking, like the first glance, that like, I'm not even going to play. Yeah. And I'm in Eritrea right now. This can't be happening. That was my thought first. But then we started practice, and you know, the first thing that happened was, you know, Eritrea's in a high altitude.
Yeah.
It's like 2,500 meters over the sea.
Sea level, yeah.
Yeah. So we practiced, and after like 10-15 minutes, I looked at Henok and I was like, hey, can you breathe? This is really hard, you know. And the other guys were like going back and forth.
Because
like,
from
was,
there.
Yeah, there was nothing. I looked at him and was like, yeah, it's kind of tough. I was like, okay, good, I'm not by myself here. But then we practiced, and I noticed that, well, yeah, I'm going to play.
Okay, so you noticed
you made
good
the starting 11.
Yeah, yeah, I played both the games.
Okay, that's
but were there many others that were not from Eritrea that you just called, like somebody like there's somebody in Turkey, man, call that guy. Somebody in New York.
Because
Eritrea, his grandfather Eritrea, like, he doesn't know, but call him over.
Like before we went there, we were like looking up, like, are there any Eritrean players? Like on the internet, so we googled like Eritrean football players.
Like nothing.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, there was like one in Australia. There was one in.
But none in the major leagues or anything like that.
There was actually younger guys here in Sweden.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like we had Tesfalde Tekke. He's in Norrköping.
Yeah.
And Alexander Isak.
Yeah.
He's also in AIK.
Yeah.
And first we're like, hey, should.
But it might be difficult to get someone like Isak because he'll play in Sweden.
Like I could talk to him. It's my relative, so it's no problem. But still,
that'd be a huge step for Eritrea.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's a good but player. Not in that time.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
didn't even
he
play for
12.
The A team.
No, yeah, he was 12. Yeah.
So but still, it was like, okay, these are young and they're quite good. We don't want to ruin them by saying come.
Yeah.
It feels bad, you know. And look, 1 year later, where Isak is now.
Yeah.
My like. Think of what would have happened
if he
would have played one national team game with us, and now he's with the A team in Sweden.
Yeah, yeah.
It would have been so. Yeah. I would have been like, I would have hung myself.
Yeah,
but I think the thing when it comes to the national team, I think when people do take the lesser team or stuff like that, what do you want to call the FIFA ranking at least? Yeah. It's when they realize that,
you know.
It's the same. Like Saha now from England, he went to play for Ivory Coast now.
Yeah.
Okay.
He said, "I'm gonna because."
But Ivory Coast
is
good.
It's
a better team
but
in England.
I sounded like a guy from Ivory Coast when I said it. Ivory Coast is or an Indian guy.
But
probably.
there's a big problem.
It's our fault.
For Premier League players and stuff, it's a problem for them to moving to an African team to play. First of all, you got African nations every second year. You miss a month of football, and that's a big problem for anybody who wants to buy somebody, especially in Premier League. Not as much in the European leagues because they have a break, but England they don't. So that means 14th January, you're off in the middle of the season when you have so many games. You're gonna miss a month. So now that Mane, Matip said no from Liverpool to Cameroon. Now he's not going.
But they're saying he's gonna get suspended and stuff.
Of course, he's gonna get suspended. He can't say no.
Yeah.
He can't. He only
That's also interesting. You can't say no.
It is interesting, but at the same time, it's a rule. Because you do.
You have to play football, man. Come here.
No, but you can say, I don't want to play for the national team. You can say that. But if you say you're going to play for the national team and then you say, I'm not going
to
go.
So do I have to play now if they call me up?
No, you don't have to, but you'll get if you say no, you'll get suspended by the Eritrean national team.
Okay.
If you say no for no reason.
Okay,
no, for no reason. If you have a reason, say, listen, I can't because this, it's fine. But you know, when you have such a big level, like Matip, who's one of Cameroon's best players, he's going to play center half there from the start.
What do you mean? I'm not big level?
Cameroon, man. I mean, Matip, for him.
No, but you it was like you talked about me and
you,
then...
You quit. Yeah. You quit playing. If you still played, I would say, you do that, you idiot.
I haven't.
He actually got
I'm
going to
start again.
He actually got to a deal there. Thank you for doing that. It has taken some episodes.
No, but...
And he was like,
I was like, are you stupid?
No,
I was like,
no.
Is he dumb? Because he's a good footballer.
That didn't happen. He was totally struck. So going from... At the
but
time,
then he played two games.
Sumbibari was.
We gotta ask about the games.
That's what I'm coming to.
Okay,
so, Sumbibari at the time was in Division 3 or 2?
Two. Yeah.
So, going from Swedish Division 2 with an attendance of maybe maximum 1,000,
like 1,000. If 1,000 people come, you're like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, who is here? Who's gonna play for us?
Yeah, exactly.
Because we don't have that guy in our team.
I
checked.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but going from that kind of grassroots level to, you know, that huge stadium with, you know, 24,000 in the attendance. Yeah. How was that? That
and must played against
Botswana. Yeah. So let's talk about like how the system works in the Africa. No, in the World Cup qualifier for Africa.
Yeah. I know, but like, tell the pod. That's very good.
Because, you know, Eritrea, we're so low ranked by all the African teams.
Yeah.
So you have to play a qualifier for the qualifier. Yeah. So we were like, you know, you have people that are on the guest list when it's a club.
Yeah.
You have people who think they're on the guest list and stand there. We weren't those people. We weren't even in the line. Yeah. Okay, so we were like on the other side of the road, like just looking and like, can we come in? No, we just went
to McDonald's
from there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so anyways, we played the first qualifier against Botswana, which is a relatively okay team.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like, they have two attacking players, like strikers, who one of them played for in South Africa for like 10 years and was like a star there.
Yeah.
The other one also plays there. They have they have a winger also who plays for a really good team in South Africa.
Yeah.
And they have a central midfielder who's actually owned by Atletico Madrid, but plays for an Indian team.
Yeah,
actually, I think Atletico has an Indian team.
Kolkata is Atletico Madrid's sponsored team in India.
Yeah. Exactly. So I think they like borrowed him
and they won the league. You know,
Kolkata.
they just won the Indian league.
Yeah. So
are you proud?
For Kolkata.
Yeah.
I hate Kolkata. Fuck Kolkata. Any people from Kolkata listening, fuck your mom.
But wait, do you hate the city or do you hate the team?
I just hate the city. I've been there plenty of times in work, actually.
Is Kolkata Calcutta?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Indian name.
Calcutta.
So they
say Calcutta here, but Kolkata is already, it's like same thing with Bombay. It's not named Bombay anymore.
It's Mumbai.
Okay.
You know why? Because
they couldn't say it.
Exactly. The Englishman couldn't say it was Kolkata and it was Mumbai. And the Englishman came and what? No, Mumbai, it's too hard.
Bombay.
Yeah. And it was Bombay for fucking 300
but
years.
But why they called it Bombay? Because the Saudi city just want to bomb the place. You know, Mumbai, fuck.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a Bombay! Bombay! The Pirates! It's a Bombay! hey, and they bombed the shit out of
him. It's like my dad at his workplace. It's like his name is Gurmay.
Yeah.
And they've been calling him Jerry for the last 25 years. I don't know why. It's
Jerry.
I don't know. Gurmay was probably hard. I don't know. But yeah, he's Jerry to them.
It's very German.
Very common.
Yeah, and just starting.
German. Yeah. No, that's funny. Like my uncle, he's in the States. I didn't get it. I called him and his wife. I never met her. I met his wife when I was like 12. I was like 16, 17 now. So I called him. I was like, and we called him Mana. You know, that's what his nickname, Mare Mahmoud. So I was like, Mare, is that his name? I didn't understand that was his name. Like, who? And I was like, oh, Manzoor.
Yeah.
She's like, who? You talking about Bob? I was like, no, Bob, no, it's a pack, he's from Pakistan. Like, yeah, Bob. I was like, okay. And then it's like, hello. And it's the uncle. I was like, hi, Bob? She's like, yeah, you didn't call me Bob, what's the problem? And I was like, oh, okay, no, fine. So I get there, go into the store, it's like, hello, Bob. I was like, yeah, that's my Indian speaking uncle. He's apparently fucking Bob, you know. But I like this Pakistani dude at a pizzeria, and when we were younger, he was from Kashmir, so he was a bit fairer, and you know, black hair. So maybe people in Sweden in the 80s thought, you know, he said he was Italian, and they bought it.
Yeah.
So he says his name is Tony.
Tony.
Yeah, an Italian restaurant, a pizzeria.
But
Italian,
he ain't no Tony.
And called Tony. And you know, he can't speak Italian, a word of Italian, he can't speak English, Tony.
Spaghetti.
And everybody's like, oh, Italiano, he's Italian. It's like, he's not Italian, he's from the mountains of Pakistan, man. He didn't see a bicycle until he was 24. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true.
Tony.
Okay, so playing against Botswana.
So we played against Botswana.
Yeah.
First game at home.
Yeah.
It was like full stadium. They said it's never been a full stadium like for the football
games
before. Yeah.
Henok was captain.
Because Henok came. Yeah. It was like, okay, we have our captain.
He was a big star.
Yeah, he had some
star.
Other guy with him from Sweden. We don't know who he is, but we've heard he's okay.
Did people in Eritrea know who Henok was?
Yeah. Everywhere we went, it was like, we're going to take pictures. And it was like, okay, can you take pictures with me and Henok? And I was like, yeah, okay, no problem.
Listen, that happens to me as well. We went to France as well. We stand there with me and Al. We just did a show. It's like, oh, you were kind of funny. I was like, thank you. It's like, can you take a picture of me and Al? I was like, of course, you fucking idiot. Don't say I was funny. Then take a picture. It sounds just pity. Yeah. Just say I didn't remember you. That's better. Yeah.
There's one funny picture from the when we were in the flight.
Yeah.
And the Eritreans were there. I think they were going there. A lot of Eritreans went there to see the game.
Okay. Yeah,
like Swedish Eritreans from other countries and stuff like that. So on the flight, there was one guy who said, like, hey, Henok, can I take a picture with you? And me and Henok sat
next to each other.
Yeah, next to each other, but it was an available seat next to us also.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of space for our legs. You know, we always said, everywhere we went, we said, hey, we have long legs and we're football players. Can we get, like, a lot of space?
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, okay, in case of emergency, just help us.
Yeah,
yeah, no problem.
We're the prioritized goal.
No problem. Yeah. He's drunk as
okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But and then the guy sat next to Henok and he took his arm around Henok. And until this point, he hasn't like talked to me or anything or looked at me. So I'm like, am I supposed to be in this picture? Like, am I supposed to be looking in the camera? So you can see me next to in the picture next to Henok, like just like looking away. Like not trying to recognize them, but still like I'm also a player. It was so awkward.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Henok was like, "Yeah, he also plays." And he was like, "Okay, what's your name, man?"
Yeah.
Oh, Senai, nice to meet you.
I know how that is, man. I've been through that sometimes.
Nice to hear, man.
When you open to some, when you sometimes you support act for a big comedian, something, especially in the beginning, that happened, and that was always the stuff. It was like, "Oh, this is great, man. Can you take a picture?" You stand, it's like, "I was on stage, motherfucker. Like, why am I taking your picture?
Or do
you should take a picture of me?
Or do you know where he is?"
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one. Do you know where Al is? I don't know what the fuck that fat fuck is. He's eating oil and fat buns. That's all he's eating. And looking at animal porn. That's what he's doing. No.
Yeah, just so...
Yeah, I understand. No.
So anyways, like during the warm-up, when we came out, that was... Or actually, this is a funny story. Like us Eritreans, we're quite known for coming late.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know this.
So I thought it was going to be different.
It's fine.
I thought it was going to be different with like the national team.
Yeah,
like we can't come late to stuff. Like we came late everywhere. It was hilarious.
I mean, that,
like FIFA told us, I was with them. I was with them during the meeting with the committee. So, like, the national teams gather, like Botswana and Eritrea. We're gonna speak with the referees and with the the one who from FIFA has the game and stuff like that. And they were like, "Hey, at least 90 minutes before you have to come to the arena."
Yeah.
And we're like, "Yeah, no problem, okay." And like, we were next to the arena. Like, you can throw a stone from where we were at. And we were still late. And like, and I was like, "Hey, we gotta go. I don't know why we're still here. Hey, we gotta take the bus and go together. Nah, we can just walk." Like, we don't have to take the bus.
This is so funny. I don't get it. Because listen, Indian people are also always late.
Same thing.
Okay? But I'm born and raised here, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm a bit sweet. So if I
we were the stressed guys over there.
But what I'm trying to say here, I know a lot of Eritrean people like you, born here in Sweden. But you guys,
Don't pick up the Swedish thing.
No, you don't do that. Like, I know
one in Eritrea, we were Swedish.
You were Swedish.
Yeah, of course. So, that's a big difference. Yeah, even if you're here, it's going to be like that, of course.
But still, nah, actually, I over exaggerate the whole thing. But like, we came late there the first day. Yeah, it was a funny story. It was a funny story.
And how was the result?
We lost 2-0.
Yeah.
The first goal they scored at a set piece, a corner actually.
Yeah.
You played defender.
Yeah, I played defender.
So it's your fault.
No, actually, it wasn't my fault.
I'm joking.
Actually, it wasn't my fault. And the other goal they scored, actually, it was the other defender's fault. The other goal, but we played quite well.
Yeah, you like had a scoring chance, right?
Yeah, I had a scoring chance. It was I should have scored.
Yeah,
it was also a corner. And actually, the game, it's on YouTube. You can see it on YouTube. Yeah. Like, if you Google it. But, like, it's Eritrean TV production.
Okay.
So it's not like...
It's late. You can see the five
last minutes. It's like, you know, the...
The sound is late. Hits the ball and it's there.
It's like, you know, when you have the old TV. And it's flimmery,
But that's anyways, nostalgic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it looks like 1990. Yeah. But still, so corner comes.
Yeah.
And I remember because Henok runs before me, and he takes two people with him.
His face for you.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, but he's still gonna head it because he's quite tall.
Yeah.
But in the last second, he ducks.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I have the goal, and it's me and the ball.
Yeah. So it's a header, right?
Yeah. So I head it, but I head it and it touches my shoulder. It's gonna go in if it doesn't touch my shoulder.
Yeah.
And it goes exactly over the crossbar.
Oh.
And at first, I was like,
what was the score at this time?
It was 1-0 to them.
Okay.
And at first, I was like, it wasn't that bad of a miss, I think. Like, the first reaction. Yeah. But then you hear 24,000 people say, ooh. So then and the sound of it was like, oh shit, I gotta get down on my knees. I gotta like...
So you heard the crowd.
Yeah, because I heard the crowd and I was like, okay, I can't be like, it wasn't that of a chance and it's okay for me. So I was like, I went down on my knees, Henok came and picked me up. He was like, hey, it's okay. But it went good for me actually.
Yeah.
Like playing wise, I thought it was gonna be I can't say
much
tougher,
more difficult,
but like
it was a different.
At that time I didn't think I could play actually like that well.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't a well played game.
But
let me ask you a very interesting question, and I think a lot of our listeners would ask this as well. Do you believe that your soon-to-be Berry team would beat Botswana? Because you know. Playing a team regularly, a season, you have a well...
Yeah, it's different. Like communications. It's not just like the verbal stuff. No, it's the non-verbal.
Everything.
So
what would you reckon? Do you think you would beat Botswana with Sundby Bar? Hard question. Tough fight?
Probably... I mean, like...
With the Sundbyberg,
like the problem is, I in my head I have like Sundbyberg team from this year in my head, and we were shit this year. So probably not if I go from the last year because we were really bad.
But at that time, maybe. When you were in
we had good players at that time.
Yeah,
like one player is in Germany now. Yeah. Another went to Sandviken in Division One.
Cool.
Another one went to a team who went up to Division One now. But
I'm wondering because I don't know.
To be honest,
he has played against both Division Two teams and Botswana. So he knows.
So but like take player for player.
Yeah.
I don't think we in Sundbyberg are better players than
but
that.
But as a team.
But as a team, because of like getting to know each other, practicing five times
question,
a week.
Basically.
It's not a fair comparison to do.
But if you go back to the experience, you lost 2-0 at home, so you have an away game, and now something interesting happens.
We
read that apparently for the away game,
but that was after the game, so we can talk about before the game. We can talk about the game first, and then what happened after.
Yeah.
The
okay,
game.
Good.
Let's go.
Okay, so we fly to Botswana.
Yeah.
And first we fly our flights, man. You know,
it was
Eritrea.
Late, of course.
No, Eritrea. You know, we have our friendship level with Ethiopia is not at top.
No, historically.
We can call it a beef.
Somewhat a beef.
Yeah, a beef.
So like, and Ethiopian Airlines is like the airline that goes everywhere in Africa.
Yeah.
It's not like in Europe. You have Lufthansa, that, Alitalia, for everything, you know, even. You have everything here.
Yeah.
It's like, over there, you have like three companies.
Yeah.
So we had to like stop in five different countries before we went to Botswana, and took us like one day in Africa to get to Botswana. But we were on the same flight as Botswana.
What?
Whoa! Okay.
Yeah.
Did they have to make five changes as well?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. That's pretty low key.
Yeah. So we were on every stop, every flight together. So it was like, yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Everything good?
I'm gonna kick
good
your
game.
Ass in three
good
days.
Game. Good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, at last we got there, and man, it's hot in Botswana.
Okay.
I can imagine.
So first high altitude and then just high temperature.
Whoa.
What are we talking?
We're talking like in the sun?
Yeah.
In the sun, like 40 at least.
You must have been thinking when you like,
I was
wish
sitting,
I could talk to all the racists and Swedes like, oh, you can't stand the 81 heat, you can't stand the cold. Like, I can't stand the cold either, man.
No,
we're
actually,
the same. We're the same.
No, I could stand it, but like we were sitting and eating.
Yeah.
And it was like I was sweating while I was eating. You don't want to sweat while you eat.
No.
You know, you just want to eat.
Yeah.
Well, we sweat when we eat because it's so much chilling.
Yeah, exactly. This was because of the hot weather.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes we're like, hey, we got to go to the room. It's too hot. But the game had to be played like 7 o'clock because the sun. Impossible to play in that heat. and they had, when we played the game in their arena, it's a new arena they built.
Right.
We didn't play in their capital.
Yeah.
Actually, we played in. Their capital is Gaborone, I think.
Yeah.
We played in. I can't remember.
Oh, something.
No one is going to fact.
Yeah,
nobody
actually,
the fact checking care.
Anyways,
you know, that's 10 seconds of your life you'll never get back.
Exactly. So
that's for all the listeners.
So we went to the arena, and actually, it was. You know, Botswana. It's a developing country right now.
Yeah.
Like they build stuff everywhere.
Mm.
But on the way to the arena, we went. We had like escort by police and stuff because it was a lot of people going to the arena. I think it was like 18,000 people were going to play them.
Okay.
And all on the way, they were like, hey, waving. And I was like, if you just know what I do in Sweden, you know. but still. We played the game and we scored the first goal.
Yeah. It was Henok.
After like 10 minutes, Henok scored. And I ran. I ran to him. And was like, "Hey, can we do this? Is this possible?" And he looked at me. He was like, "Hey, let's try." You know.
He must have must have been a great feeling when that happened.
No, it was a great feeling.
The most believing you must have felt.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's gone. It can't, you can always dream, but when that happens, like, it's happening right now, isn't it? And you've seen so much football, you know how many games that turn.
And to be honest, the feeling when you do something good in a game, I can understand the high.
Yeah.
Like, when we played at home and... Like I said, I did a good game. Yeah. So, like, when I did good stuff, they were, like, applauding, you know, high. And I was like, you don't even know how to react.
Yeah.
You, the crowd, you don't think about them. When they react,
yeah.
It's like they applaud.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I got to do something.
Yeah, you went to your knees.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, good game, guys. Like, yeah. But... Actually, I didn't need to do it, but just because they applauded, I felt like I had to prove something.
Yeah.
But then they scored 1-1, like, quite early.
Yeah.
And then, I went 2-1, 3-1, end of game.
Yeah.
So, after the game, some of the guys, they disappeared.
Okay, but tell us about this.
This is what we're going to ask you, because apparently... You after the game now, some of the Eritrean players just disappeared.
No, so it was like this actually.
You're like, Bob, where are you going?
Yeah, exactly. Jerry, Bob, Tommy, Jimmy.
Yeah, like we're in Botswana, man. No, but still, like this is not Europe. No, but anyways, so
where did it go?
So let's start. Where do we start? No, but the game ends. We go home.
Yeah.
Actually, me and Henok went to the Botswana hotel the team where they stayed because we chilled out with them because
you've been hanging with them for 2 days now. So.
but also they were like they were friendly, but also they wanted to just hang out.
Yeah.
They wanted to talk about the Botswana.
Not a better hotel,
actually, it was the same.
Yeah.
But anyways, so and talk about their league.
Yeah. Okay.
And stuff like that. But anyway, then during the morning when we woke up, we heard a knock on our door. Me and Henok shared the same room, and they were like, "Hey, do you know where the other guys are?" What other guys? Because we were gonna leave earlier, me and Henok. We were gonna go directly to Sweden.
Yeah, okay.
Because it was at that time, Oiko had, they were gonna win the league.
Yeah. Okay, all right, okay.
They had the battle.
So they were gonna play Göteborg.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if
they
you remember
had
that.
Match.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you had to come back
we had to fly home directly. They were gonna go back to Eritrea.
Yeah.
We're like, which other guys? And they're like, hey, they're 10 guys. They're missing. What do you mean missing? Nah, they're not in the room. I was like, hey, they probably eat breakfast or something. Yeah. Nah, it's 6 in the morning. We don't have breakfast yet.
And not gonna miss.
Yeah. So I was like, nah, I don't know. So it ends up with they stayed in Botswana. Stayed in Botswana. Like they're still there to this day in some refugee camp. Things. Yeah, in refugee camp.
They didn't want to go back to Eritrea. Saw the chance. They thought we'll just
exactly because like you can say whatever you want about Eritrea right now, but it's
politically,
it's not the best of. It's a young country still.
Yeah.
It's 25 to 30 years old.
It's like saying you're in Syria now, saying oh you're leaving. It's a great country, but at the moment it's not great.
Exactly. So they decided to leave, and you know. You could feel it somehow, because historically it's been happening with the national team. That's why, like Eritrea doesn't have 2004 it went like this, 2006 it went like this. It's like 2004, then it's 2014. Yeah. You know, because
so they have different teams all the
time. Yeah, that's why it's hard.
So this is actually a problem that occurs often on away games for Eritrea. Is this
with the football teams.
People sometimes stay over? Like often or?
I would say when they get the chance.
Wow.
Not every time.
But it's still it's funny because it's funny, and at the same time it's extremely tragic, of course.
Yeah, of course.
That due to the political reason, you have to do something so great. But if you just turn around and watch from a football angle,
it's also
lack of
knowledge. Yeah. Like in Eritrea, it's it's like. How can I say it? Development-wise, inside the country, it's still going on.
Yeah.
Somewhat not also going on. It's still. So, internet-wise, you know, internet's like
infrastructure is not there. Yeah, it's so people are seeking good. Basically so, a better life for themselves
because they don't know about what's out there.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying that sometimes they don't know, they come to me in Botswana and things will not change. It will be the same.
Sometimes, like in Botswana, I don't know how much it changed.
No,
But. To be honest, also, if you go to other countries, it's going to be better.
Especially if you go from a war or beef or whatever you want to call it. If you go from that kind of area, everything gets safe.
Yeah, but like in Eritrea right now, it's not war.
No,
it's you have to do military duty it's not and politically stuff like that. Stable. So, yeah, exactly. It's a lot of hush-hush and stuff like that. So, I could feel it when we left Eritrea because I was sitting next to one guy.
And he had too much packing.
Not too much packing. Not too much packing because I think they knew people were going to try to leave. So they picked out the squad to go to Botswana the night, like 6 hours before the flights. So you couldn't pack, you know?
And then it's pretty practical because you and Henok are going back to Sweden, so they'll only pick the good players for home games, and then maybe they'll pick players who won't leave.
No, you know, because it wasn't all of the same players, to be honest. Like the home game and the other game.
That's very special.
Wow.
That's so very special.
So, like, we changed goalie to the other game.
Yeah.
It was like, and some of the guys were like,
he's
not even like the fourth best goalie in Eritrea. And I'm like, if you're not even the fourth best goalie in Eritrea, you're not going to play division, I don't know, in Sweden.
Yeah.
No, but I get it. That's really special, man. Yeah.
It's funny,
the weird part is that when you hear stories like that, you think, it's got to be so. This is life.
This happens.
This is 25,000 people watching a game.
Yeah.
There is a qualifying for the World Cup going on. I mean, we're talking that it's a proper game. It's not, you know, a Division 5.
This is a FIFA level game.
Yeah, it's a FIFA. It's unbelievable. These are the things that you never can. I don't think.
This is life. I said, I mean, like.
And in Europe and stuff, they can't even fathom. And people say, like, if you say to a European, like, yeah, he went there so he can move to Botswana. For a European, be like, Botswana, is that even better? Like, for an American, if you say, like, Sweden.
To be honest, for the guy who stayed in Botswana, he doesn't even know if it's better.
No.
It's just a risk.
You know, exactly. And, like, better than what?
Yeah.
So it's... but... As I said, when we left Eritrea, the guy I saw next to me, he was like, man, I miss my kids and my girl.
I was like, man,
we just left Eritrea. You can't miss them that much.
Now you know why.
Yeah, it was like a tear, like falling down.
Fuck, he just left them.
Yeah, but I don't think he just left them.
No, he tried to get it.
He had a side bitch in Botswana.
Yeah. No, but you know.
Tutti. Tutti in Botswana.
Tutti was waiting, man.
Yeah, exactly. but like in Europe, they call her Bob.
Exactly.
No, he calls her Bob.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know my friend Bob.
Exactly.
He was very good at Bob Beauty. Bob Booty.
No, but so, and like we made stops on the way, and it wasn't the best stops for people trying to leave a country. Yeah. It was like we went to, like, I think it was Qatar.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, the airport, it's magnificent, you know? So they were like, "Ah, is this life?
Don't stay in Qatar."
And then we went to like, what's it called?
United Arab.
Yeah, exactly. And they were like, "Is this it? Like, this is beautiful."
Yeah.
And then we went to Kenya, and they were like, "This is shit." And I was like, "No, this is life."
Funny way though. You go from Eritrea to Qatar to United. You go north,
and then you go back south.
Well, it's so funny because you only judge the places by their airports,
of course,
as well, because Kenya is so much better. I promise.
Than
United Arab
Emirates. But they were like, "Oh, she's taking pictures," and we went to Botswana. They took pictures.
They had no idea. They were like these. Some of them, they literally had no idea how it would be. How it look
no,
like.
No, I don't think so. Anyways, I don't think so.
If you don't have television,
this is what I think. Like, to be honest, this is not what I know.
Yeah,
of course. So, you're allowed to think, mate.
Thanks, man.
No, really nice.
I'm not an expert in like a refugee.
No, this is a really nice story. You know what you should do.
What?
When you think like, okay, maybe I need to do something on the side, you should write a book about this.
Or pitch a movie idea.
Yeah, or a movie. I'm not kidding you.
It would be a good movie.
This would be the good
like, movie. A comedy movie.
Yeah.
Comedy
but
drama,
the Americans
comedy.
Would have to do it. Yeah. Because they always get it right. I don't know how.
But you know what happened in that scene when you're signing with this guy in the American movie? Be like... I miss my kids, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I miss my kids, man. Yeah. Something just happened inside of me. Do you feel that feeling? He has a long speech. He can't speak like any language, but in this speech, he's amazing.
And there would be an American flag on his t-shirt. Yeah, we don't know why.
Someone listening to the national anthem in their iPhone.
Oh, say.
Whitney Houston worship, bro. That's the one. Okay, I think.
And his name in the American movie, you know what that would be? Bob.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's call it the Bob episode. Okay, guys, thank you, Senai, for coming.
No problem.
Really interesting story, and we'd love to have you back.
I would love
to
come back.
I hope you guys
thank you.
Enjoyed this. I think it's time to check out.
We don't need to do any preview of the week. We had 1 hour of real football news here. I think a lot of things that we never have heard. Yeah. And this is the first time we've had somebody first played for a national team.
Yeah.
And then a qualifier for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Give it up for that, man. That's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And we still think that you should come back and play for Eritrea. If I was you, I would... never give that chance. I'll go to every national.
But he's seen some shit that he can't unsee right now.
That's the thing.
So let him
more
think
shit.
About this.
You need to go pay a ticket to Eritrea, be a king for a couple of days. They will start noticing you. This is the
Swedish they
guy.
Noticed me already.
Yeah, but then
they noticed me in Sweden when I came back. Eritreans were like, "Hey, aren't you that guy?" Can
and
we
that's
take
amazing
a picture?
Because you people look the same.
It was sick.
That was fucking
a sucker punch.
I was just waiting for some kind of racist.
Yeah, as always.
I think the Busfala trip was
fucking
good.
Indians. Okay.
Well, in that area of the world, it's not great.
Yeah, that's true.
I was in Tanzania, so I understand. I was called Mohindi the entire trip.
Mohindi?
I mean, in Swahili, Muzungi is whitey.
Yeah.
White person. And then they have Mohindi.
Yeah.
Because there's so many Indians.
Which is weird, and you're Pakistani.
No, but you have to understand, most people that lived
in
Kenya and
Tanzania, Uganda,
they are from, many of them are from Gujarat.
I know.
They're not Muslims, they're Gujarat from the Indian area.
Fucking hate Gujis, don't we?
No, I don't give a flying fuck.
I hate them.
I hate all of them, all the Indians there. I did my work actually as a spy on them.
You know what?
He's
you know what? You,
should,
you guys, inside your country, you shouldn't hate each other because you have a lot of people hating you already.
I'm not saying I hate each other. Because I'm Pakistani. I'm just saying that I dislike going to any kind of situation where everybody's so culturally, you know, inept. It's like our nation is the great. I don't think so.
No.
I don't care.
No.
That is correct.
Even though, like a lot of people say, it's a lot of racism here and there. You know what? I grew up with a culture that, you know, I understand why they are. They've been impressed in many wars and stuff. I understand. Yeah. But if you ask me if I think it's a good thing that they go to Africa when the British took them over as kind of work slaves or whatever you want to call it. They came there. They took Indians over to Tanzania because they had some know-how because they treated them for 30 years and learning them how to build a railroad. They take them to Africa. When they leave, the Indians then stay there. And this is just fact. I'm not trying to say they're all idiots, but this is historic fact. They stay there and think like, you know what?
Yeah.
The British go, even if we go back to India and to that, or we live here as the British. So they stay there. They own the farms. They own 50% of the infrastructure of Tanzania and Kenya, and they were 1% of the population.
It's,
so my problem is this.
True.
If that happens, fine. Yeah. If they integrate. So what happens 100 years later? When I went there, so my study was to see how much infrastructure, there's racism involved there. When I asked them, the Indians, they welcomed me open up because I spoke Hindi and Urdu or Punjabi. There's a couple of Sikh persons there as well. So they were like, oh, so great, you know, someone like us.
Yeah.
And then the truth, there's a lot of black, you know, they're not like us.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, it's like, so what happened? So is there any racism? Like, no problem. It's like, so if you marry and a black girl, my mother would kill me. I was like, yeah. Write that down, you fucking punk.
No, but that's true.
Problem is, like, it's been 100 years and they're still 100% genetically culturally Indian. That means that over the past three generations, kids, grandkids, grandchildren, you don't have enough Indian Pakistani or Indian subcontinent there. So what do? They import people from India and Pakistan to live there, and they will happily come because they think, like, you know what? Hey, I will live there. Similar temperature.
Yeah.
We grow similar stuff.
Yeah.
But it's more water and greenery where they will stay. And the big, big difference is this.
Yeah.
You will be the king.
Yeah, exactly.
You will have money.
Yeah.
They don't even have electricity in the places we were in Tanzania. It was no problem for the Indian because they own the farms. They own everything. They didn't care. Had a driver, had a this and that. And there was one guy, one Tanzanian, you know, he was half.
Yeah.
I mean, not officially because, you know, his mother was black, but everybody knew his half. Yeah. And he's had a difficult time for both sides.
Yeah, but
the oldest, he was an outcast. He was literally almost like.
But listen, just
like
to add to this,
in Hinduism.
My brother was in Kenya last year.
Yeah,
and
so you guys are from there originally or something?
No.
You're
from India.
I have
friends.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
I think you know them.
Yeah, we have a lot. I know a lot of
like Indian people from Africa. But what I'm trying to say is, my brother went there and he was like, okay, I want to see Kenya, and you know, he's really, you know, exploring type of person. So he comes there and he sees Indian people and. In an instant, he started hating them because they're so segregated. They live by themselves.
Absolutely.
And I talked to a lot of like native Kenyan people, and they're like, where are you from? And he started to say India, and they got like, okay, this is a fucking bad.
But they've had a really bad historic.
So what
thing
he started to say was like, he said, I was on the Kenyan side because I hated the fucking Indians in Africa.
That's
because
they're
fucking douchebags.
Yeah, yeah.
So he started to say, because we, and you don't, you kind of look, but me and my brother doesn't look like typically Indian. So people think we're kind of Tunisian or.
You look more Indian than I do.
Okay. But it's your fucking Sikh beer, man.
Yeah, but you just know that I look like somebody in northern
yeah,
India.
Okay,
like,
I
people
know
don't
that.
Know
no,
that.
That's, yeah.
To be honest, you both guys look like Indian.
Okay, whatever.
That's fine.
What I'm trying to say is.
Of course it's fine. You're.
I don't care. I'd rather not, but that's okay.
What I'm trying to say is, when we come there, they think we look
not
like
the sexiest people.
No, we look like North African, Tunisian, Moroccan, or whatever. So he started to lie, like, no, I'm not Indian. Fuck those guys, because he didn't want people to get like the wrong impression because he
realized.
Well,
I would do the opposite. I would still say I'm from there, but say I don't like it.
No,
for me, what was good there when I was doing my study over there is because the indigenous people there.
Yeah.
They really, really liked me because they had questions about the Indians, and I spilled the guts.
Yeah.
I said everything. I was like, this is the way it goes. The interviews, this is what I heard from them. This is what I've said.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't know I was going to say that kind of stuff when I interviewed them because I was Indian. And that is the level of racism.
Yeah, I know.
That's the level that they meet me. I'm from Sweden, right?
Yeah.
I come from Sweden University. I say I'm Swedish.
Yeah.
Originally, I'm Pakistani.
Yeah.
So I was speaking Hindi. Oh, my mother is Kashmir, dad from Punjab.
Yeah.
I would say that because they always like, is it India or Pakistan? And I'll usually say like,
they're
it's
fucked
a mix.
Up. They're fucked
I'll just
up.
Say,
oh,
I'm from both sides. Then they can't really hate you. It's like, okay. So you meet some people like that as well. And some people just be, if you're from the continent, you're my friend. It doesn't matter. And most of them were like that. So for them, when they, that's an instant. If you get that like happy and joyful talk and say everything, it's because they feel like, oh, he's also Indian, it's fine. He's on our side, he's gonna hate them as much as we do.
Yeah.
And they don't say they hate them, but that's structural racism.
And
it's structural racism. It's like they have an America
for
with
us,
prisons.
For every one of us, because we're born and raised here in Sweden, and we're raised with a lot of different kind of, because I haven't grown up with any Indians at all.
Nah,
like I have one Indian friend and okay. So what I'm trying to say is,
what about me?
Whenever I come to another country,
friend.
No, because a lot of people, this happens a lot in Sweden, because, okay, most of my friends today are some kind of African, okay?
Right.
Most of my close friends are. Either they're half or they're Habesh or whatever.
Jungle
and no.
Jungle
okay, whatever. They, a lot of people think, oh, so you're half African, right? I'm like, what the fuck? And you know, it's not because I look like it, because I don't. But people just assume because I
hang
go
up.
With
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
of course.
So it's so fucking messed up.
That
so
was the issue.
Why are we talking about this?
No,
okay, it was
know.
A great pod. We will surely cut this out.
No,
thanks
that's
a lot.
Good. We had some. We've got some history and knowing about.
We always
what
lie about
the,
history. He doesn't know shit about.
What
us.
Was the pod's name?
What?
Indian football mafia?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Swedish football mafia. Yeah.
Oh, Swedish.
No, but you have to talk. Yeah. I mean, I think it's you know.
You have to have broader perspective.
You talked about
stuff.
That area yeah. that we don't know that much about, and people when I tell them like yeah. there's a lot of Indian living in Pakistan, yeah. they have no
idea. They have no idea.
The only body who knows about that is other Indian Pakistan because yeah. when we grew up,
it's
my mother
history.
Was like, they're from yeah. Uganda. I was yeah. like, what do you mean Uganda? Well, yeah. how they look Indian? They have the Indian. It's like, yeah, yeah, but they moved like 200
yeah.
years ago.
Exactly.
But that's the amazing part for me. If you move somewhere
yeah.
100 years earlier, right?
Yeah. And you're still...
And it is still language, clothes. I mean, I'm sorry, mate. Yeah. I'm fucking sorry. That would never work for me. I mean, that doesn't... If I had kids in fucking... In Morocco,
yeah.
there's no way 100 years later that yo, man, he's up speaking Swedish and eat the meatballs. That's bullshit.
No,
it's racism.
No, I
it's ridiculous.
I agree. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you tonight.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah.
All of you guys out there.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.